Time now for Extension Today on WIFM. Extension Today presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. North Carolina Farm Bureau has been actively promoting farm and rural issues since 1936. Now, Extension Today with Danny Hall.
Welcome to Extension Today. I'm Danny Hall, and on Extension Today, we are pleased to welcome our friend from the Yadkin County Cooperative Extension Service, Extension Agent Phil Rucker. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Danny.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're doing well today, my friend.
Yes, sir.
We have a really interesting topic, and I say a timely topic, too. We're going to be talking about the latest strain of bird flu. Let's just get into it, Phil. Tell me what's going on there.
Well, you know, over the years, we've had various diseases that have gone after different aspects of the ag industry. We've had things like swine flu. We had an earlier bird flu, which was a different strain than the one we have now. We've had mad cow threats. We didn't have it here, but you know, it was out there, and other diseases. Most of these did not really hit our state too much, but there was an awful lot of panic and economic woes.
Sure.
And this new strain of avian influenza, that's the fancy name, most folks just know it as bird flu.
Right.
It's mostly in the West and the Midwest, but there is a chance that it could affect some parts of North Carolina. Hopefully it's going to be minor, but we just need to be ready, because if it does hit, there could be some devastating effects.
Well, Phil, let me just hit you with a few questions here. First of all, what is the avian influenza? How is it transmitted? And what birds does it affect, and why? You mentioned probably not here, but maybe. Why should we be concerned?
Well, it's a flu for birds.
Right. Okay.
all of us are able to get the flu, and we just feel real sick, just very down, depressed, all that good stuff. Same thing with the birds. There is a low pathogen form, and that's a long lingering effect. And then there's a high pathogen, which is a really quick death, and sometimes there's no signs of illness, and that's what this new strain is.
Oh, okay.
So you may go out there and find, you know, just if you have a small backyard flock or a commercial breeder, you may go out and find, you know, half the birds dead.
Wow.
That's a pretty good sign you have it.
Oh, yeah.
If you find one or two out there dead, it's just luck of the draw. It just happened.
What type of birds affected?
Well, mostly chickens, turkeys, both wild and domestic. Duck are really, really bad to spread it.
Oh.
Geese, waterfowl are going to be our biggest enemy. This is transmitted by body fluids, whether it's, you know, secretions out of the throat, the nose, the eyes, or feces.
Phil, I know it seems in the past that there's been a chance sometimes that humans are infected from different animal diseases. Can we contract this strain of bird flu that you're talking about here?
No. The earlier bird flu that we had, yes, there was a chance of that.
Mm-hmm.
This one, no. The one that scared everyone before, and I'm going to get real medical and technical, was the H5N1.
Okay.
This is the H5N2.
Okay.
Now, I don't know all the medical differences, but we've learned that the H5N2 is not, there's no cases being reported of humans getting it. So it's pretty much said that humans are going to be immune to it.
Okay, so it's just going to affect the bird population, animal population then.
Yeah.
What's the risk for commercial poultry operations as well as, say, just the backyard poultry flocks, and do poultry operations need to let people know what they have?
The risk to both type of operations can be great.
Okay.
Because if biosecurity measures, and I'll discuss that here in just a little bit, if they're not followed, then this disease can be transmitted fairly easily. It's easily killed with disinfectants and heat. It doesn't really like hot weather, but it can be easily moved, you know, back and forth, bird to bird. It can get on, if someone steps in infected feces,
right,
and they don't know it, and they go to the neighbor's house who has birds, there is a slight chance that they could transmit that disease. Now, why, you know, do we need to be concerned for these operations? Well, it's already hit in, let's say, 21 states.
Wow.
The USDA has spent over $500 million.
Mm.
And that's billion with a B.
Yeah.
To euthanize and bury, compost, dispose of all of these euthanized birds. Now, over 50 million birds have been humanely euthanized and disposed of.
Is this Phil, is this the bird flu issue that we heard about just a couple of months back, I guess, out in the Midwest where they had to euthanize these millions of birds at one time? Is this the strain we're talking about here?
That's it. Iowa and Minnesota were the two states that got hit the worst. And, you know, Arkansas, they only had one case, but they jumped on it really, really quick. They used biosecurity. They used all the proper management, and they controlled it so it did not spread.
Okay.
And one thing that's going to, I guess, work on us is we have over 4,500 commercial poultry farms that we have records of.
And I guess it's important that we have those records and for everybody who's participating to make sure that they report what they have, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And what's really astounding is we have over 3,500 documented, that's the key word, documented backyard flocks. My guess is there's at least five times that number that are not documented, and we don't know who all has them.
When you say backyard flocks, what kind of numbers would you be generally talking about, Phil?
That's usually someone with less than 200 birds.
Okay.
Now, that can be someone with three or four just to get some eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 100. It could be 50, and they sell at the farmer's market. But usually 200 and up is characterized as commercial.
Oh, okay. All right. Our guest is Phil Rucker. Phil's the Extension Agent with the Yadkin County Cooperative Extension Service. He's joining us here on Extension Today on WIFM, and we're talking about a very serious topic. It's the high pathogen avian influenza, which is, in layman's terms, the latest strain of bird flu. Is there, Phil, a treatment, medical treatment for the infected birds? I think you touched on it just a bit. And how do producers protect their flocks or reduce the risk of them contracting the disease?
Okay, once the birds have this disease, there is no treatment.
Oh, okay.
Usually you're going to find them dead, or it's so fast-acting, it usually will, the bird will die within several days of getting the disease.
Okay.
So really not a whole lot of time to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
A vaccine is in the works, but the results are very indecisive because it's kind of like our flu shot.
Right.
Is it the right strain? Is it the right this or right that? And they hadn't hit on that right answer yet. The best way to keep your flock safe is biosecurity, and I'll discuss just a little bit of that here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But information, know what's out there, what to do, who to contact, things like that, a lot of common sense.
Okay.
And know the signs. I'm just going to hit one or two.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a sudden increase in bird death, sneezing, gasping for air, drop in egg production or soft or thin shells, misshapen egg. If you see some discoloration in their feces or if there's a lot of, I guess, mucus discharge,
right.
Those are really big signs that you could have, you know, something going on.
So there are a lot of different symptoms you need to be aware of, and you need to, I guess, be checking constantly because, as you say, it's just a matter of days once the disease hits, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just real quick, biosecurity, I could spend an hour on that, and I know you don't have an hour.
Oh, that's all right. We get time. Come on.
At the end of the session, I will give a website.
Okay.
And it's the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, and it has everything that industry, backyard flocks, just the general interested John Q. public needs to know about this, because, you know, we're hoping all this planning and prep is actually for nothing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We hope it does not hit.
Yeah.
But if it does, we really want to be on top of it and be like Arkansas and, well, Barney Fife. We want to nip this in the bud.
Yeah. That brings me to my next question, Phil. What happens if there is a positive case found? Is all the birds have to be destroyed then in close proximity or what?
Okay, this is a moving target. Change things as they learn more and more on this disease.
Mm-hmm.
If a positive case hits, then the birds in that flock will be depopulated.
Okay.
Now, any surrounding operations, they will be monitored. They'll be under surveillance.
Okay.
There will be I've heard up to a 10-mile control zone. And, yeah, that's big, but they really want to stop this before it gets out and around. Nearby flocks will be monitored. Some transportation on, you know, some roads near the positive case will be limited.
Oh, my.
So it may be, 24 hours. It could be several days. It's just according on how large the flock is and things like that. So the state vet's office will come in. They will make the final decision as to what happens.
Well, and that one, a 10-mile radius, man, that can incorporate a lot because, a lot of houses around here, a lot of growers around here, so you could really be, it could throw a wrench in the production issue.
Yes, and if it's a small flock, it may only be a 5-mile radius.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yes, they're going to come in and make that determination, but they keep saying 10 miles because they really want to control this beast if it does hit.
Well, they want to emphasize the seriousness of it, I would guess. Phil Rucker, our guest today. Phil's extension agent with the Yadkin County Cooperative Extension Service, and we're talking about the latest strain of bird flu, what the results are when it happens, how we can sort of hopefully prevent it, and what happens when there's cases found. Phil, how do producers and even the general public learn more about the avian influenza, as well as just stay up to date on new information? Because you say new information coming in all the time.
Yes, there is. The best way is if you have access to the internet, is to go to the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences. You can go to www.ncagr.gov/avian flu.
Okay.
And there's more information than you'd ever want to try and read.
Okay.
You can also phone or email your local extension office. I've got a big folder here, and I can give you other websites. And most county offices have the NCDA information on the website as well.
Sure.
And if you have issues, I'm going to give you a phone number, and I'll give it to you again here in a minute.
Okay.
But this is the North Carolina State Vet's Office, 919-707-3250. And they want you to call that number if there's any suspicious cases, suspicious birds, if you just want to know something. That is the number to call.
Would that typically be the first number you need to call if you suspect that? Or, would calling your local vet be something to do as well? Or?
Well, I spent yesterday in Greensboro at two different meetings on this disease.
Mm-hmm.
There were several veterinarians there.
Okay.
And they're like, what can we do? Because someone has got to take those birds and take either a blood sample or swab their throat and send that to the lab to be tested.
Okay.
We would rather have the state vet's office handle that. So for biosecurity and make sure everything is done exactly proper. So they would rather you call the state vet's office first.
Okay. And
they can say, well, get so-and-so to do it or whatever. And let them make that final call.
Okay. And that number again, Phil.
Okay. State Vet's Office is 919-707-3250.
And at your office there, should they, if they maybe just missed the website or need a reference back to the number, they can call you at the Yadkin County Cooperative Extension Service.
Yes. And that number is 679-2061.
A little easier to remember.
Yeah.
Phil Rucker, thank you for all this information. My goodness, this is something that people need to keep their eyes open, pay attention to, and be aware of and stay up to date on. So we appreciate all your input on it today. And as always, great talking with you. Incredibly informative. I appreciate it, my friend. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Well, thank you, sir. And we're not trying to scare anybody. And this isn't little henny penny saying the sky is falling.
Right, yeah.
We're hoping that it does not hit, but the threat is real from all the migratory birds.
Sure, yeah.
They're flying over North Carolina here in the next several months.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to advise people just really quick, if you do have birds.
It is always important to be aware of the possibility.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And ducks are the number one carrier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have ducks, you need to contain them, because when wild waterfowl start flying around, ducks like ducks, and if your ducks are available to other waterfowl, they could accidentally move that disease around.
Yeah.
And just a few things humans can do is change your shoes.
Okay, yeah.
Don't wear the same shoes in with your birds that you wear out.
Right.
Because you're just transmitting the possibility of the disease.
Leave those outdoor shoes in the mudroom or the garage or something when you...
Well, I suggest have either one of those little Rubbermaid rubber totes.
Yeah, yeah.
And leave your boots out there at the fence.
That's a good idea. Great idea.
And they're there.
Well, Phil, here's the thing. You did scare me a little bit, okay?
Well, you know, like I said, we don't want to scare you. We just want everyone to be thinking about it.
Well.
And use common sense. If anyone has questions, feel free to call me, and if I don't know the answer, I'll be more than happy to try and find out.
Phil Rucker, the Yadkin County Cooperative Extension Service. Thank you, my friend, until we talk again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And folks, thanks for joining us for Extension Today right here on 100.9 WIFM.
Extension Today on WIFM presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. Join us again next time for Extension Today on WIFM.